Good morning. It's a privilege for me to be here this morning. I'm thankful for the opportunity. I bring greetings from the students, faculty, and staff of East Texas Baptist University. We are gospel kingdom partners with this church, and we're thankful for, over the years, you've been so generous and kind to support us, and through your gifts to the Baptist General Convention of Texas, you're continuing to do that, and we're thankful for that. I know we have some current students from New Boston on campus, and we're thankful for that, and I've gotten to know some of those over the years, some students from New Boston, and we're grateful. You send your students our way, and we're grateful for the opportunity we have to partner with you in the gospel and to be kingdom partners with you. I'm also had the privilege of getting to know your former pastor, Dr. Frank Brooks. He's a member of my church, First Baptist Hallsville, and he wanted to say hello as well. I called him this week and told him I was preaching, trying to do his old pulpit justice, and he said to make sure and say hello to you. Can you believe it is the week of Thanksgiving? I mean, in some ways, 2020 has gone really slow, right? And yet, in other ways, 2020 has seemed to zoom by. I don't even understand that phenomenon, but it's unbelievable to me that Thanksgiving is just this week, and Christmas obviously not far behind. For me, growing up, Christmas was really difficult because I had these ridiculous and unbelievable expectations about Christmas gifts, and I don't know if you know someone like that, or maybe you fall into that category, but I would see these commercials, and they're already starting on TV about people walking outside on Christmas morning, and there's a car with a bow in the driveway, right? And I actually thought that that was real. I didn't know that that's an advertisement. That actually doesn't happen. And maybe it's happened to you, but it's never happened to me. But I had these unbelievable expectations for Christmas. And every year I would be greatly disappointed there was no car with a bow in the driveway. So, and I continue to make it difficult on my poor wife because she's never been able to get me a car. Right? And I still, it seems like I have this expectation of what Christmas can be. And so inevitably, instead of being thankful for what I do receive, I spend time thinking about what I didn't get. And obviously that's a terrible attitude to have, and it's something I'm continuing to work on. But I want us to think about what it means to be thankful. And even in 2020, there is so much for us to be thankful for. If you have your Bible, get it out and turn to Psalm 9. We'll just look at the first two verses. And there's so much to be thankful for, even in a difficult and challenging year. And sometimes we do a lot of focusing on what is going poorly and what is not going the way we had expected or hoped it would go. And we don't spend as much time thinking about all the good things that we have in our lives. Psalm 9, beginning in verse 1, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds, and I will be glad and exult in you, and I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. I want us to look at what it means to give thanks, because this week we will all have the opportunity to reflect on what we have to be thankful for. However, Thanksgiving is not just a matter of thinking about things that we are thankful for. It's important that we give thanks to the Creator, the one who gave us every gift that we have. And it's an opportunity for us to give thanks, not in a half-hearted effort that maybe some of us are used to offering, but as the psalmist says, with our whole heart. So our starting point is indeed Psalm 9:1. I will give thanks to the Lord with all of my heart, I will tell of all of your wonders. We would think that since we're starting with one verse of Scripture here, it would be an easy task to understand it and to apply it, but there's a significant depth in this first verse. I will give thanks to the Lord with all of my heart. Expressing thanks to the Lord with all of our hearts goes beyond having a loving feeling towards God. The heart in Scripture is not only the source of love and affection, but it's the biblical understanding of the heart is that it's the very core of a person, the central component of an individual. It's really the source of all decision-making, and the beginning of every thought is the heart. So essentially, the psalmist is saying, I will give thanks to the Lord with everything that I have. I will give thanks to the Lord with my very life. Again, significant depth in one verse, giving thanks to the Lord with everything that we have. And notice, as it says, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. If we were to have the opportunity, and we do this week, to spend some time reflecting on and thinking about all that God has done for us, it's a long list. It's a really long list. And when we take the time to think about all that God has done for us, hopefully that will prompt us to give thanks indeed with our whole heart. But what does it mean to be thankful? In order to do something with everything we have, with our whole heart and everything we are, in order to offer ourselves completely, we have to know what we're supposed to do. So what does it mean to be thankful? We all know what it means to be thankful, don't we? I mean, we're taught this at an early age. In some ways, it's really hard to put into words because it really is a feeling that we have when we are thankful. Because we can teach our children to say thank you, and we can tell when they mean it and when they don't, right? And it almost seems silly. You need to say thank you to your grandmother for that gift. Thank you, right? That's not it. But we see our, hopefully, and as time goes by, we don't have to prompt our children to say thank you, and they run up and express their gratitude to someone for a gift, and you can see how sincere and real it is. But in some ways, being thankful has to be taught, whether it's children or it's us as adults, and we have to learn that behavior as well, learn that posture, if you will. But it is kind of hard to define what it means to be thankful. The dictionary gives us this definition. It says being thankful is conscious of the benefit received. And I do like that definition, conscious of the benefit received. So aware of the gift, aware of what you are receiving and fully acknowledging the benefit of it. But this definition helped me understand why sometimes I struggled at Christmas trying to be thankful. Because to be thankful is to be conscious of the benefit received. And when you're a little kid and you get socks and underwear, you're not really excited about socks and underwear. You're not really thinking about, oh, nice, I needed new socks, I needed new underwear. Because I would get something that I considered not very valuable, or I would receive something that I considered not very important, and not aware that it was indeed something that I should be thankful for, it was something that I needed, something that I benefited from having. But it's easy to overlook simple things, and yet they too are worth thanking God for. This week, we will have time to pause and reflect on what we have to be thankful for. And I do hope that we would take time to recognize the benefit of the things that we have been given. Maybe it's a spouse who provides unconditional love and support. Maybe it's parents that provide all of our needs. Maybe it's our children who give us unconditional love and unending joy. Maybe it's our church family that challenges us to be more like Jesus and provides support during difficult times of life and celebrates the joys of life with us. Maybe it's just our friends that provide us encouragement and support. We recognize the benefit that we enjoy because of these people in our lives. And so we pause and say thanks to God for these relationships. I pray we would do that this week, that we would thank the Creator for giving us these wonderful relationships that fill us up and that challenge us to be more like Him. This verse offers even more depth when we stop thinking about who or what we want to thank God for, and we pause to thank God Himself. If we apply Psalm 9:1 to our relationship with God, what do we see? I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will praise you, O Lord, with all that I have. I'll be grateful to you with my life. I'll be conscious of the benefits that you have given me all of my days. Applying this verse means that we live a life that is aware of the benefits that we have received, namely that our lives constantly reflect that we know we have been forgiven of our sins. We have been cleansed from our unrighteousness, and that now we are new creation in Christ. We're new creatures. Being thankful to God with all that we have is for what He has done in our lives leaves us with no other choice but to worship Him with our lives. To express our appreciation, if you will, with a life of worship, a life dedicated to Him and His service. I think of Romans 12, 1 and 2, where Paul encourages the church at Rome to offer themselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That is indeed how Christians should live. And for Christians, Thanksgiving is not a holiday to be enjoyed with family once a year. Thanksgiving is a life of worship to be enjoyed with God and our Savior Jesus Christ every day that we are given to enjoy on this earth. I had a friend of mine in college who began every prayer that I ever heard him utter with these words: "Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for waking me up this morning." And when I first heard that, I thought, well, I've never prayed that in my life. I mean, that's kind of obvious, like, I'm here, thank you, Lord. But it was his way of expressing each breath, each day is indeed a gift. And it's a wonderful perspective to have, that each day is indeed a gift from God. If you read one of Paul's letters in the New Testament, you can sense his relationship with individuals that he is writing to. He often begins his letters expressing his thanks and his gratitude for people and these relationships that he has with them. Here's just a few of the verses in which he expresses his thanks. "I give thanks to God always for you. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you. I do not cease to give thanks for you. I thank my God in all my remembrances of you." We give thanks to God always for you. And Paul is indeed thankful for people. He is thankful to God for the people he's placed in his life. Using the dictionary definition, Paul is fully aware of the benefit that these individuals have been to his life. The impact, the positive impact they have made on his life. These individuals have impacted Paul in a dramatic way, and they've impacted the kingdom for good, and Paul is thankful that he has been able to partner with them, and he's thankful to God for them. In a couple of his letters, he gets very specific. In his second letter to the church at Thessalonica, he says, "We are bound to give thanks for you because your faith is growing abundantly." In his letter to Philemon, he says, "I thank my God when I remember you because I hear of your love and the faith you have toward the Lord Jesus and all the saints." He's thankful to God for people and how they have impacted his life. But he's also thankful for how God is at work in their lives. He's thankful that God is refining them and growing them to be more mature followers. Paul was particularly thankful for people, for individuals who were impacting his life. And we can certainly appreciate that, can't we? We are thankful for the people that God has placed in our lives. As we gather with family this week, perhaps, or maybe we do a Zoom call this year, I don't know. But either way, hopefully we will take the time to express to one another that we're thankful for them. And it's going to be the people that have made a big impact in our lives. We're thankful for our families, our spouse, our children, our parents, and our extended family. But we can also appreciate being thankful to God for how he's at work in the lives of others. And that's probably people in your church family. Maybe it's mentors from years gone by, or current mentors who are impacting you, challenging you to grow in your faith, maybe set an example for you to follow as they go ahead of you and continue on in their own relationship with Christ. We're grateful to God for friends that challenge us with their holiness and their personal relationship with God. We're thankful to God for family members that continue to amaze us with their faith in God's provision and leadership. Maybe you have an aunt or an uncle who's told you every year of your life that they're praying for you and that God loves you. What a champion of faith to have in your life. We're thankful for Sunday school teachers over the years who have displayed God's wisdom through their teaching and who've helped us take his word seriously. We're thankful to God for people who display the heart of a servant, not looking for notoriety or recognition for their actions, but those who follow the example of Christ and take the form of a servant for others. Obviously, Thanksgiving is a time where we reflect on who and what we are thankful for. But I believe we should also ask ourselves whether or not we are living lives that other people are thankful for. This kind of self-assessment is not to be taken lightly. We should truly pause and reflect on whether our lives are such that other people are thankful for them. As others that we know are taking time this week to reflect on who they are thankful for, will we make their list? Are we being used by God to make a positive impact in the lives of others? And notice the word positive, it's not just an impact, right? We want to make a positive impact for Christ. Are we bringing joy to the lives of others because of our positive attitude and our unyielding faith in God? Are we expressing genuine concern for others so they know that they can turn to us in times of need? Are we allowing God to use us for good? In this particular year that we are in and the challenges we have faced, there's been a great opportunity for the people of God to be servants, not only to one another, but to those around us. Are we people who have taken advantage of this opportunity and used our gifts and talents to meet very clear and obvious needs that exist all around us? Are we people that others are thankful for? A spiritual mentor once shared with me a private thought that I've never forgotten. She'd spent her life investing in others and caring for other believers. And she said it very simply, "In life and in ministry, some people drain me while others fill me up." And it wasn't a complaint. It was really just a comment on life, particularly a life spent investing in others. She would leave some conversations and meetings feeling very discouraged and down, while other ministry opportunities left her excited and filled with hope and enthusiasm for what God was going to do next. The reality in life is that working with some people can be draining. I'm not going to ask us to raise our hands and share who we're thinking about at this time. Maybe it's a coworker who continues to make life difficult in the office, or a family member who refuses to acknowledge the rest of the family. Maybe it's a classmate who likes to argue about Christianity just to make you mad so you will potentially lose your witness. We know that some people can drain us emotionally, physically, spiritually. But this friend of mine was not talking about life and ministry outside of the church. She was specifically commenting on her ministry to other believers. "In ministry, some people drain me, she said, "while others fill me up." And her ministry was not to hardened criminals that refused to listen or respond to her ministry. Her life was not spent in another country ministering to those who practiced another religion, where you would expect some discouraging days. Her ministry was to believers, those who'd accepted the gift of Christ in their lives. And the harsh reality, as we all know, is that working with people, and Christians included, can be a draining experience. It can discourage us to the point that we don't want to minister anymore, and we're ready to give up and stop caring enough to invest in the lives of others. In Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, he said these words and Chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." Paul was writing this letter to the church at Philippi while he was in prison. And he was telling them, stop complaining. Stop complaining. When you think of these words in our context, You literally wonder, could he have imagined 2020? There's a lot to complain about. There's plenty of things to complain about. And yet Paul, writing from prison, is telling these believers that complaining is not helping the situation. One thing that's very fascinating to me, Paul was in many ways light years ahead of his time. Because scientists have actually determined that physiologically, biologically, our makeup is in fact negatively impacted by our complaining. So when you complain, a Stanford University study revealed that a half hour of complaining every day physically it damages a person's brain, the chemical makeup of the brain. Whether you're the one griping or the one listening to the complaining, exposure to negativity peels back neurons in the hippocampus, the part of the brain used for problem solving and cognitive function. It's literally breaking down the brain. So when you're venting, it releases cortisol, the stress hormone in the bloodstream, and we end up upset and frustrated all over again. So when we think about, oh, I just need to get this off my chest, we actually find out and we realize this, it gets our blood boiling all over again, doesn't it? And yet, interestingly, just the opposite is true about gratitude. Gratitude. So the opposite of complaining, if you will. So during his lifetime of research, this professor at University of California, Davis, his name is Robert Emmons, and he said that he learned that studying more than 1,000 people from ages 8 to 80 found that people who practice gratitude, right, a perfect thing to consider for this week, gratitude, whether it's journaling, whether it's taking a time of reflection, they consistently report a host of physical benefits, including lower blood pressure, stronger immune function. They enjoy more efficient sleep. They're less bothered by aches and pains. They actually experience more joy and optimism and happiness. And they are more giving, more generous, and more compassionate when they practice gratitude. There's a 26% decrease in stress. There's a 19% decrease in depression levels. So gratitude can reduce the frequency and duration of depression because you cannot feel both envious and grateful at the same time. They're incompatible emotions. So high levels of gratitude have low levels of resentment and envy. A professor at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, spent her entire career researching personal relationships. Her findings indicate that expressing gratitude in marriage is one of the key characteristics of a healthy and a strong marriage. Because expressing gratitude is not taking things for granted. Expressing gratitude is recognizing that you appreciate the kindness and actions of your spouse. So we have the opportunity during 2020 to express gratitude, to express thanksgiving for all that we have, even in difficult circumstances. And I mentioned the people that in life that maybe drain us or the people that fill us up. I would pray that we would be people who fill others up, that we don't focus on what's going wrong in the world, that we don't focus on complaining about all that is there is to complain about, but we stop and pause and we are indeed grateful for all that God has done. So what about us? Do we consistently fill others up? Or do we bring those around us down? Do people leave an encounter with us thankful for how God is at work in our lives? Or do they leave praying that God will work in our lives? This year, 2020, has given us a great opportunity to be bright lights for Christ, to respond to this difficult situation in a way that demonstrates that we have faith in God, that we are responding in faith, not like those who don't have faith. And that doesn't mean we're foolish to the realities of the world, but it's a mindset. It's an attitude that God is still in control and that we are going to be bright lights for Him no matter what comes our way. Think about our relationships with other people. What about our interactions and encounters with those who don't know the Lord? We ask ourselves the same question. Are we living a life that this person can be thankful for? But we can also ask ourselves a question with a bit more significance, perhaps. Is my interaction with this person drawing them closer to the Lord, or actually, am I turning them away? Is my encounter with this person causing them to consider God and His church in a relationship with Christ? Or is my encounter causing them to avoid His church? Is my behavior challenging others to consider their questions about God? Or is my behavior confirming their opinion that God does not exist? when we talk about living a thankful life. It's more than simply listing a number of people and things that we are thankful for, although that's a good place to start. But it is attempting to be conscious of all that God has done for us and responding with a life of worship. However, we must also strive to be in the list thought of by others, living a life that others are indeed thankful for. This week, I want to challenge you, and I urge you to take some time, whether it's 10 minutes, whether it's 30 minutes, whatever it takes for you to sit down and reflect on all that God has done in your life. And if you were to do this honestly, I think 10 minutes is probably not going to be sufficient for the long list of things God has done for you and through you and in your life. And it's a way for us to pause and reflect on all that God has done. Indeed, it's a long list for every one of us. But I would also encourage you to think about your life and think about moving forward. How can you be on the list of other people? A person that comes to mind when they think of the good people that God has put in their way that challenge them to grow in their faith and challenge them to have more faith in God. And we should pray that we can live a life in which God is so clearly at work in us that other people are indeed thankful for our contribution. We conduct ourselves in such a way that others pause to thank God for us, not because of what we do, but because of how God is at work in our lives. At work in us, growing our faith in Him, refining our lives and attitudes to glorify Him, causing believers and non-believers alike to be thankful for us because of the positive contribution we make in their lives, not draining them, but filling them up. I pray this week that each one of us would pause and reflect on all that God has done for us. Indeed, we have much to be thankful for. Let's pray together. God, in many ways, this year it might seem difficult to stop and reflect on all that you've done for us. And yet, because of the circumstances of this year, in many ways, we've had more time to do just that. And I pray that this week we would do exactly that, that we would pause, that we would get away from everyone, and we would just simply make a list of all that you have done for us. And God, the list is extensive for each one of us, giving us breath each day is at the top of that list, making a way for us to have a relationship with you because of the death of your Son and His resurrection. Also, Lord, the top of the list, and it's something we do not want to take for granted. God, the people in our lives that you've blessed us with, the friends, the family, this church, God, the wonderful people throughout our lives that you have placed in our lives to encourage us in our faith, to grow us in our faith, Sunday school teachers from years gone by, Sunday school teachers today. And God, we do pray that we would indeed thank you for the lives of so many that have impacted us. But God, we also pray, and I ask that you would help us to have resolve that in the days ahead, we would strive to be people that others are indeed thankful for, that we would be people that fill others up, that encourage them in their faith, that prompt them to grow deeper in their relationship with you, to grow deeper in their love for you, to grow deeper in their knowledge of your word. God, I pray that in this challenging situation we find ourselves, that we would be people that bring peace, that we would be people that bring hope, and that we would be people that demonstrate faith in you, God. In your name we pray. Amen.